Got the there we go. Got the Stanton's Army T-shirt on this morning. If you guys don't know our man Stanton Gustafson, man, he's a great dude. Part of our youth group, and was diagnosed with leukemia right before school started, and he is in the battle right now, working through the all that comes with fighting leukemia, and is actually home. He's with us. I won't call him out. I won't make too much of him. But my man, Stanton, you got to know we're with you. We love you. We're praying for you. And we pray this week is a good one for you, bud, as you're home and you get a break. All right? And if you need anything at all, you lean on us, okay? And so we're there. So if you know the Gustafson family, you want to reach out to them. If not, man, grab a hold and join in with us as we pray for Stanton, and that we join in on his army and just support him in this journey, in this battle, for sure. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20, Bible says, Then God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Why don't you pray with me? Father, we come before you and we confess together that your name is great. And Father, we confess together that the reason we're in this room is because of all that makes up your name. And Father, it's in and by the power of your great name that we've come to know you, and that you sustain us and you keep us. Father, it's under the banner of the great name of Jesus that we pray. And Father, we ask that by the power, the great name of the Holy Spirit, that you'd work in our hearts and our minds and you would change us today. And Father, we confess to you too how easy, how often, and how regularly we play fast and loose with your name. Father, not only in the way that we communicate it, but Father, just even in the way that we approach it and understand it. And forgive us for the manners in which we take a really shallow approach to you and in your name. And God, we'd ask, though, that in your love and in your patience and through your Spirit this morning, that you would open our eyes and you would open our hearts and you would change us and you would make us different today in how we understand your name. And that as you send us out on mission this week, that we would go renewed and refreshed and encouraged and excited to be able to communicate your great name to this community. So, Father, have your way now. We'll give you all the glory. We'll give you all the honor. And we'll pray these things because we can. In the great name of Jesus, amen. Have you ever name dropped? Okay. Have you ever just name dropped? And here's the deal. I mean, I asked the question. The answer is obviously yes, right? Because you started practicing this thing as a young child, right? It went something along the lines of, Dad told me to tell you, right? I mean, you went to your brother, your sister, whoever, or you're at school, and you said, the principal told me to come tell you to do this, right? And we start dropping names on this to kind of solidify who we are and what we're doing, right? To bring some credibility behind that. And if you use what we come to know at an early age is that if you use the name of a very powerful person, that their power is accrued to you, right? That you get that extra boost because of Dad's power or the principal's position that way, and their name opens doors for you. Okay. The negative could be said, too, that depending on the name that you're dropping, sometimes doors are closed because of that, too. And that's a sermon for another time. All right. But if you use someone's name, if you're going to go drop someone's name on this, you must do it in truth and you must do it in reality. Okay. Because if not, Okay, you're going to run up against some burdens or some hurdles this way. Let me give you an example. If I went out to North Carolina here in a few weeks, watched Duke play basketball, which, I mean, I would love to do, by the way. And so you pray with me about that. But the fact is, if I went out, showed up at Cameron, and let the security guard know, hey, Coach K's expecting me. Okay, because he's from the South, he's going to be real polite. Okay, and he's going to call. He goes, let me make a call. And he's going to call up. And we already know how this is going to end, right? It's not going to end well because Coach K is going to be on the other side of the phone going, Jeff who? Jeff what? And the only door open for me at that particular point in time is the door leaving Cameron Indoor Stadium, okay? Because I'm using a name not in truth and not in reality by looking at some guy saying, hey, Coach K is expecting me to come in and he's going to provide whatever for me on this. It's important that we do this in truth and reality because when we use someone's name, we do and we declare and we imply relationship. How much more serious are we talking about when we start dropping the name of God? Does this make sense? It implies and it declares relationship. It implies and it declares that there's a connection here. And so as we come to this commandment today, it's absolutely imperative for us to come and we see the weight of using God's name in our day-to-day life. And so I want to start, if we could, this morning by just taking a look at the commandment, okay? If we can take a look, look at verse 7 with me. It comes out, it's very clear. He says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And what's in a name to begin with, right? When we start talking about a name, there's plenty in a name. There's a lot wrapped up in a name. And so we come and it says, don't use the Lord's name in vain. And so when he says vain, what is he talking about? He's talking about using his name in an empty, frivolous manner, using his name with no substance or sincerity behind it. This way, where we use his name, and in using his name in vain, we're misrepresenting who God is and what he's about. When we use his name in vain, what the command is telling us as we just take a surface look at this thing is that when we use his name in vain, we're misrepresenting God's name and we're misrepresenting God himself when we're frivolous in our approach. Folks, hear me. This command is not put in place for God's protection. God doesn't need anybody protecting his name. This command is put in place for our protection. In the way that we live, in the way we value, in the way we approach God, in the way we declare God. This command is put here for our heart, right? And it keeps us close to him so that when we use his name, we're truly representing him, his person, his plan, and his purposes. And so we take a look at this commandment. But secondly, I want us to today take a deeper look. All right, I want us to drill down just a shade more on this. And we come back to the verse just to remind us again, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Folks, we have to go deeper on this. Otherwise, what we'll do is we'll stop short. And what we'll say is, what this command tells us is don't cuss. And we walk away and think, that's it. Just don't cuss. And we got her covered on this. And it's deeper than that on this. Because when we talk about the name of God, we're talking about something that is so precious that there are many today who won't even pronounce his name. Because they don't want to play fast and loose this way. Leviticus 23 tells us about the value of God's name that the high priest took his name upon his lips once a year. Okay. Sometimes when we look at like this moment, this day where the high priest would take his name upon his lips on Yom Kippur, that falls flat on us here in America. It falls flat on us, the seriousness and the gravity in which many today approach the name of God. Okay? Folks, when we walk around, can I just tell you, I want to be careful on this because I don't want to be too narrow or legalist or something like this, but when we walk around and we talk about our buddy in heaven, or we talk about him being our homeboy, we're playing fast and loose in the wrong area. Okay? And we come and we look at it, the value, the weight the substance, the supreme preciousness of the name of God. And I want to try to illustrate this a little bit as we dive a little bit deeper on this. But Exodus chapter 33 talks about this. Okay, Exodus 33, look at verse 12 with me. It says that Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you yourself have not let me know whom you will send with me. Moreover, you have said, I have known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray you, if I found favor in your sight, let me know your ways that I may know you." Okay, here we go. So again, there's relationship here. There's that closeness here, so that I might find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people. Okay, then this builds on itself. Verse 18, as we walk through the chapter on this, in chapter 33 there, it says, Moses says, "I pray you, show me your glory." Okay, Moses wants nothing else but to know God himself. He wants to see his glory. He wants to be close to him. He wants that intimacy this way. And God says, "I myself will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show compassion to whom I show compassion." Stop with me for a second. Think about this. Man, this is not just him walking up and saying, "My name is this," and then moving on to the next thing. There's something deeper. There's more involved here. It's more encompassing. That in his name, in his glory, is graciousness and compassion. And God himself puts this thing on full display. He doesn't stop there. He continues to talk to them about his loving kindness, and he talks to him about the way he judges the iniquity of people this way. And then if you go to chapter 34 and verse 5, okay, if you turn with me, it says, "Descended, the Lord descended in a cloud, stood there with him as he called upon the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, 'The Lord your God,'" here it is, "compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth." We like to push pause at this particular point in the verse and go, "That's my God." He doesn't stop here, though. He said, there's more to me, right? As you keep reading. He says, "Who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, in the grandchildren to the third and fourth generation." And Moses made haste to bow low toward the earth and worship. This is a lot, church, about the name of God. This builds, and we get to chapter 33 and chapter 34 because of what was shared between God and Moses back in chapter 3 of Exodus. And in Exodus chapter 3, and if you look at like verse 13 this way, Moses said to God, "Behold, I'm going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' Now they may say to me, 'What is his name? What shall I say to them?'" Right? And God replies to him and says, "I am who I am. Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you." Church, hear me. We sit here today. We've been given names, right? Each one of us have been named by someone else. Only God himself named himself. The quality, the character of what's wrapped up in the title or the name I am, right? "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you." The God of Scripture is not a God of discovery, okay, or based on our description of him, okay? God is not who God is because we described him in a certain way, okay? God is him. God is who he is because he is who he is, right? He's all that he is revealed in his name. His name is not simply nomenclature this way. He's more than us just going around, "Well, God is God," on this, right? Or whatever flippant, you know, way we describe him and come to him this way. And here, not only our church, but our culture thousands of times a day violate this command. By the way we come and by the way we value and by the way we see God. Isaiah chapter 43 speaks as well to God. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10, it says, "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, and there will be none after me. I am the Lord, and there's no Savior besides me. This is God. Folks, we have to take a deeper look, and when we talk about God, we talk about the Lord this way. Think about this with me for a minute. We ran a little video. There's any kind of names, we could have more names we could have put up there, but think. He's Elohim today. Creator. He made everything. He hung the stars. He hung the galaxies, right? He holds all things together. When you look around to the people sitting in front of you and next to you and behind you, he formed each person, shaped them. And folks, my question for us is, do we have a deep conviction that the God we come and worship is the creator of all things? Do we buy this? Do we engage in this, that this is who he is, that he's El Elyon, right? God most high. And when it says that he's most high, there's no competition for his position. Folks, he's not barely holding on to the slot that he has. There's God most high, and then there's nothing beyond that. I mean, let's just be honest on this for a moment. But he's sovereign in his rule. He's got power beyond all that we know to direct and to guide the day-to-day affairs of our life. Church, do we buy this morning? That this is our God? I mean, we just got done singing to behold our God. And when we behold our God, we behold him with the multifaceted person that he is, the individual that he is. And yet, as I ask you, do we believe in his sovereign rule and authority, his sovereign power over all things? Do we believe that? The question is, will we wake up tomorrow and go, God, I don't know if you're really going to intervene in my moment. You ever been there? I've done that. Where we forget that he's over all. He's Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Do we know, trust, and believe this God? Perfect example of God as provider. Genesis 22, Abraham and Isaac. And Abraham takes the child of promise, and he goes up the hill, right? And the message is for him to offer up his son. And as they go up the hill, the dad knows what Isaac is going to find out, and that God is a God who provides. And as they go to Mount Moriah to offer Isaac, as Abraham is going to offer Isaac up, and as he binds him and puts him on the altar, God intervenes and provides a lamb, right? He provides a substitute, just like he would years later in the same spot, providing Jesus, the perfect substitute, right, for us. He's the provider. He provides for us. He provided our greatest spiritual need, provision for that through the work and record of Jesus. He's Jehovah Nisi. He's our protector. He's our banner. He's Jehovah Sikino, our righteousness. Folks, hear me. As I look around, we battle and we work to try to craft and carve our own righteousness where we can look around and say, I'm a self-built man or a self-built woman on this. And let me tell you something. Why do you want to try to create your own righteousness when God himself says, I am your righteousness? Church. God has been and is and will continue to declare and disclose himself to us. And this morning, the name of God is not significant because it has some kind of like little magical ability to kind of get us up and over the hump on this deal. He's not a good luck charm. Hear me. God's name is not something we carry around like a rabbit's foot or a crystal that we just kind of pull out and go, ours is a little bit stronger than yours. His name is significant and weighty because of its substance and who it's drawing our attention to. Proverbs 18 tells us, right, that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it. Folks, we run into the name of God. When we talk about him being the creator and the sustainer and the self-existent one and these characteristics that make up his name, hear me, he is 100% all of them all of the time. on Mondays, hear me, he's not sitting in heaven on Mondays going, today I'm going to wear my creator hat, and tomorrow I'm going to put on my all-sustaining hat. He's all of those things all of the time. Forever. That's our God. Church, this is our God. This is who we come to behold and to be drawn into, to be shaped by. This is who we come when we say we come to magnify the name of the Lord, right? Not to magnify it in the sense of taking something small and making it bigger, but to take something that's already great and seeing it in its proper place. Letting it shape us and change us. It fuels our worship. It fuels why we live. It fuels the way we spend and value and share in the day-to-day life. We need to take a deeper look into this name. And can you see the danger of just being a sloganeer today? Can you see the danger of us just running around and throwing the name of God places? Can you see the danger potentially of us being inoculated by our culture in regards to the name of God? Can you see the danger of taking his name on our lips as a curse or a joke or throwing it around flippantly? Church, even deeper than that, when I say being inoculated by our culture, our minds, I think, went to the day-to-day culture of Durango, La Plata County in America. I'm challenging us to think, is there a danger of us being inoculated by evangelical church culture that plays fast and loose with the name of God? Church, we need God to work in our hearts today. To show us what's there, who this God truly is. The problem we face today is that our God, the picture we have in our mind, is too small, he's too manageable, he's too controllable. Where we walk around believing and filtering through this idea that God is here and exists for our glory. When God has created us for his glory. Church, we need him to change us, don't we? And so as we come and we take this look and we consider this particular command, thirdly, I want us to take it to heart this morning. I want us to take it to heart as we look again. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Church, I don't know if there's anything else that could grab you stronger this morning. Because is there any time in the scripture where God makes a promise that he does not follow through? And for him to say this morning, he will not leave unpunished those who take his name in vain. I don't think he's messing around on that. And so we have to ask, we have to say, God, expose our hearts on this morning. Show us this morning, right? Where do I break this commandment? God, show me that this morning. Where am I clouding the picture of your great name to those outside of faith? Where am I clouding the picture and blurring the lines for those inside the church and outside of the church? God, show me, keep me from being somebody when I'm living my day-to-day life that what I'm putting and what I'm projecting on your great name is no different or no better than what anybody else sees around them. Folks, as people who've been redeemed by the Father who sits on his throne in heaven, we should be different in that. We need him to show that in our lives. And in big picture, ways that, you know, if you're looking for big ideas on how we break this commandment, we break it very simply through blasphemy. We break it through perjury. We break it through hypocrisy. Practically speaking, let me ask you a few questions. Because all I'm asking right now is for the Spirit to work in our minds and our hearts to show us where we do this. But we take the Lord's name in vain when we try to make our name famous rather than God's. Folks, in those ways where we're trying to build our empires or build our kingdoms, and we maybe sprinkle a little bit of God upon it, but really, at the end of the day, it's about us building our agenda. We take the name of the Lord in vain. We take the name of the Lord in vain when we swear by God's name and know that we're not going to follow through. We take the name of the Lord in vain when we associate God's name with things it ought not be associated with. Folks, I don't know about you. I mean, there's a number of examples I could give you on this one. But in the season that we live in right now and by the influx of what comes in our mailboxes, right? Hear me on this. when we start associating and applying God's name to political parties and political agendas, we're taking his name in vain. God isn't a Republican. God is not a Democrat. In the truest sense of the word, God is the ultimate independent. Folks, we take the name of the Lord in vain when we speak on behalf of God when he has not spoken. Church, we need God to change us so that we don't walk around and club other people with phrases like, well, God told me this for you. Has he? How would you, where, in what way? God told me I need to, we do that relationally, don't we? God told me. God told me to get out of this relationship with you. Did he? God told me, better yet, God told me that we should be in this relationship together. Really? Right? God told me this. God, I mean, you start driving. I mean, we see this stuff happening in job situations where we sit down, Christian, non-Christian bosses, etc., and we go, God told me this. Did he? Folks, when we take his name in vain, when we speak on his behalf when he has not spoken, we speak or we use his name in vain anytime we use it lightly in our day-to-day. We use his name in vain when we worship in a way that does not honor his name. Folks, it could happen here on a Sunday morning. It could happen here through our music and through our message. But practically speaking, in our day-to-day, when God gets leftover time or no time from us, we're using his name in vain. We use his name in vain when we openly live in sin and practice sin after taking his name or proclaiming that we've become his child. Folks, when there's habitual sin that we're running to and committing ourselves to, after he has redeemed us, we take his name in vain. Folks, when your closest friends call you on your stuff and you continue to practice that sin and reject their counsel and their admonition, you're taking his name in vain. We struggle here. When we're being called out and we're playing fast and loose and we fall back on everybody else is doing it, or this is common, or this is this, and we're taking his name in vain. Folks, hear me on this. The sin that you struggle with, hear me, the sin is real, okay? And is there areas where we gravitate to in our life? Absolutely, okay? Get that. Hear me. I get that. But the gospel is greater than our sin. When God says that he has set us free from the bondage of sin, the sin has no power. Folks, we've been released from that. And every time we go back to it and say we can't help it, we can't keep away from it, we're saying that sin is stronger than the work of God. Church, hear me. When that friend, when that gospel community calls you on the carpet, it's not because they're on a witch hunt. It's because they care for you and love you and want you to experience the true freedom that's available because God sits on his throne and has defeated sin once and for all through his son. You know where I'm coming from? We need this in our life. And folks, we just go and we take his name in vain when we think that sin is bigger than him. We take his name in vain too, though, when we make a bunch of rules in God's name. Let me just talk about sin for a minute on this one too, where we sit back and let's say you're sitting here and you've had a struggle and a wrestle in your life, maybe with sexual sin, and let's say it's internet-based, okay, and you're surfing, and you start making a bunch of rules and putting up a bunch of walls and buffers because you know who you are and your propensity, but you take those rules and those buffers and those things that are good for your heart, and you start telling everybody else that it's gospel. You see what I'm saying? We're taking God's name in vain on that. When we start making up a bunch of legalistic rules and regulations and we expect everybody else to carry on the same way. We got to watch that. So the question in front of you this morning is just, honestly, where are you prone to taking God's name in vain? Where are you prone to name dropping God's name? We want to know this, right? We want God to expose this in our life. It's absolutely vital because we can lie to ourselves, right? Matthew chapter 7 talks about this. Matthew chapter 7, tail end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is speaking here, and he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Okay, those of you who grew up in the church, you already sat up, you already know where we're going on this, you're going, I don't like this part, all right? But let's go with it anyway, all right? He says, but he who does the will of the Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? I want you to stop here for a minute. They're using the right name. They're using it in the right way. See that? They don't know him. And he's going to look at him and go, depart from me. I never knew you. I prophesied in your name. I cast out demons. He's going to go on. He's going to talk about the fact that we did miracles in your name. And Jesus is going to say, I declare to them, I never knew you. They're name dropping. And God's going, I don't know you. Church, do you see why this is serious business? I mean, you see why we have to look at this thing and just go, this command is so much deeper and more pervasive than, do you cuss? So where do you have a propensity to name drop? Okay? Because we want to take this thing to heart this morning. So what's our takeaway? And this is simply it. Your takeaway is, I want you to take it home with you today. Okay, that's your takeaway, is take this home with you. Okay, we got to work through this thing. Because if you're like me, and I've walked and wrestled through this thing, man, I'm convicted. I'm overwhelmed. I don't even have to go, like, back into the past of my Christ following on this. I can look over the last week or two in my life and see where I've played fast and loose. I've just taken a shallow approach to the great name of God. That's overwhelming to me. Where do you go when you're confronted with that? Where do you go if you're sitting here right now and your reality is regularly, often, and consistently you take his name in vain, right? Where do you turn? And I'm here to tell you today, you turn to Jesus. Okay, you turn to Jesus, not because that's the church answer. You turn to Jesus because Jesus lived up to the name that God gave him. And we turn to Jesus on this because Jesus never one time took the name of God in vain. So we run to him, right? We go to, folks, this is good news this morning for us. That in Jesus, because he never took the name of God in vain, in doing that, he took our name on the cross. And he took our name on the cross so that we could take his name and stand before the Lord. Folks, to come to the presence of the Lord, we take the name of Jesus. And we can take his name because he took our name. Folks, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 speaks to this for us, illustrates it for us. 2 Corinthians 5. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things are past. Behold, the new things have come. Now, all these things, right, are from God. Don't miss that part. All of these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Folks, this is good news for us. What he's provided us through Jesus. It's phenomenal, the work that has taken place. It builds on itself. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. So we look at this. It says, God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I don't know if this works for you, but go with me anyway. This is you, what the Bible is going to tell us and what it's going to show us, and even what these commandments reveal to us, is that by us coming up empty, we're clouded and we're covered by just the effect and the impact of sin in our life, this dark, black covering that influence, and really what it does all by itself is it's going to bring one thing, and that's the judgment of God upon us. And outside of Christ, this is how God sees us. And yet what this tells us is God made Jesus, who knew no sin, right? Clean, empty, who knew no sin, to be sin. So God took our sin, all of it, every single bit of it, put it on Jesus. What he did is he took your name and he put it on Jesus. Each and every one of us in this room. And Jesus took the full wrath that was due our name so that he could take all of Christ's righteousness and put it upon us. So that we could take and we could proclaim and we could drop his name as our resume, as our righteousness. How good is that? So, church, if you're sitting here today, you're overwhelmed and you're going, Jeff, you just don't understand how regularly and pervasive taking God's name in vain is in my life. I'm here to tell you, you don't understand how great and pervasive the rescuing work of Jesus is. And my admonition, my encouragement, church, is that you grab a hold of his name and you forget your name. You forget what's tied to that thing, and you take the name of Christ, and you proclaim it. And you come to the Father and say, the only reason why I'm here is because of your Son, Jesus. And Father, every time I play fast and loose with your name, God, I'm coming back to you knowing that it's through his work and through his record that I have his righteousness. It's I was reconciled. God, we come to him, and it's, God, I'm reconciled only because you reconciled me. And we hold on to that, right? Church, that's freedom. That's good news today. And so we go. Where do we go with this thing, right? Jesus died because of the name he took on heaven, the name he claimed on the cross. Yet in the end, because of his righteousness, because he is right, it's that very name that we now claim his so that we don't have to face eternal separation and judgment this way. We know the name of Jesus is sufficient for our salvation and for our satisfaction because Jesus didn't take God's name in vain. You and I, church, you and I today, we're part of a church, right? A gathering. We call First Baptist here at 3rd and 11th. We could have any name that way. But we're part of a church here that desires, right, to mobilize us to go serve this community. And we're praying to plant a church here in town to introduce more people to Jesus. We give 25 cents on every dollar to global evangelization that way. And we do all of that not to make much of our name, not to have people remember 3rd and 11th, not for people to remember First Baptist Church. We do that so they would remember the name that's above all names, right? That's why we're here, and we're part of that, taking that message to the world this way. We go and we send and we give, claiming the name of the one that never misrepresented God, never played fast and loose with God's name, and sharing the hope that's found in the fact that he saved us from all the times we've misrepresented his name. And we want to take that good news to this community, don't we? So that way, again, people don't remember this place, but they remember the one who's king over this place. So church, this morning, as you sit and you take a look at the third commandment, please, please, please don't leave this place thinking it's just simply don't cuss. Please, as you think about this great third commandment, as we respond to him today, as you're thinking about the way that you naturally break this commandment on this, don't just carry that burden. Don't make some kind of commitment that you're going to go work harder and you're going to try harder this week, but rather come under the name that we have to claim to come into the presence of God anyway. And let's celebrate and let's respond knowing that we've been reconciled to God through his Son Jesus. And let's sing that together today, can we? With the joy and the confidence of the satisfaction that's found, that we can find the forgiveness for the ways and the manner in which we play fast and loose with God's name. Let's pray. Father, we love you. I ask that your spirit would be active and moving in the hearts and the minds of our people. And God, that you'd be reminding them and showing them the ways that they take your name in vain, that I take your name in vain, Father. But as you remind us of that, Father, help us to respond properly. Father, help us to not respond with some kind of attitude or approach that we're going to take care of business, we're going to get our ducks in a row, we're going to go take, but Father, rather to come under the name of Jesus to you to receive the forgiveness and the reconciliation and the restoration and the transformation that only you can give. And Father, as we dwell and we think about all that makes up your name, I pray that it would start to create a joy and a delight and a satisfaction within us as we celebrate you. Father, I pray that what it would do is would motivate us to know you better, to come closer to you, to pursue you deeply, to treasure you. Father, as we respond to you now, know our hearts and receive worship from us, because we want to give you all the honor and all the glory.